You find John chapter 3? Would you stand with me for just a moment and look on as we read just a couple of verses? John chapter 3, and it says in verse number 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God." Our Father, we thank You this morning and asking You, Lord, to help us and speak to our hearts as only You can. And help us leave here today knowing there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. And should there be one in the service this morning that's never known the joy of being saved, I trust, Lord, You'd help them, make it easy and clear for them, to help them to understand, and pray today that they might trust You as Savior. Have Your way. Help me now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. He says in verse 20, "Everyone that doeth evil," everyone that practices, everyone that is involved in evil, "hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or rebuked or he be convicted. But he that doeth truth," he that lives right, "he comes to the light that his deeds," what he does, "may be made clear," may be made manifest, "that they're wrought in God," or they're done by the assistance of God. You know, when God saves us, He takes us out of the darkness into the light. But sometimes, as His children, we have a tendency to lean back toward the dark. I remember several years ago when I was living in Hawaii and stationed there in the military. They built a shopping mall in Pearl City. And in that shopping mall, they had a restaurant with an outside entrance into it. And one Saturday afternoon, our two children was at a friend's or somewhere. They were occupied. And my wife and I decided to go down to this shopping center and have a meal that afternoon in this mall, in this restaurant. We hadn't been there before. And I remember walking down there, driving there and walking in, and it was a beautiful Hawaiian day. When we walked inside that restaurant, it was pitch black, dark. They had a little light on a desk type area sitting right at the front, and the girl there with the menus and all that. And she picked up a flashlight and two menus and said, "Follow me," and held the flashlight down so we could see the wall. I mean, it was absolutely as black as it could be in that place. And she took us back to a table and held the light down, and we seated us at a table and handed us a menu about this long, and she said, "You'll be able to see this in a few minutes." I thought, "You got to be kidding, lady. This is pitch black in here. I can't see anything." There's one little amber light on the table, a little artificial candle type light. That's all there was. Then we sat there a little while, and pretty soon I could see my wife sitting across the table from me. And we sat there a little longer, I'd be able to say, "Hey, this place got other people in here. There's people sitting all over the place." And she's right. After a while, I was able to read that menu. And when I saw the prices, my eyes really opened. Now, the place didn't change. I did. It didn't get any lighter in there. I just got used to the dark. And I think that we, as God's people, we have to be careful that we don't get, by exposure, we don't become used to the dark end. You know, I think it ought to scare God's children, don't you? I think it ought to scare us that we could get used to the dark again. I want to share with you some thoughts this morning on that subject. The title of my message is simply that: don't get used to the dark. And I want to share, by way of introduction, I want to give you three or four little signs that are red flags that when these are in our life, it ought to be a red flag that pops up and says, you need to watch out. Number one is when the sight of sin doesn't bother you. You know, when you first get saved and you're right with God and excited, Boy, I tell you, you know, the sight of sin just really, it gets to you. But then as you're exposed to these things on television and billboards and magazines and everything around us, we can't avoid it, but we don't have to get used to it. It still ought to bother us just as much. But when it doesn't, and when we don't turn away from it, we don't turn it off, we don't avoid this to the best of our ability, it's a red flag. It says, hey, wait a minute. You're getting used to the dark. Not only when the sight of sin, but when the sound of sin doesn't bother you. You know, when, again, you can't avoid all the sounds, but if we're right with God and where we ought to be, it should bother us. But you know, if you're not careful, you get to where that the music you used to wouldn't listen to, all of a sudden you begin to go ahead and tolerate it and expose yourself a little more to it and listen to jokes that maybe you shouldn't listen to and so forth. It's a red flag. It says, wait a minute, you're getting used to the dark again. Thirdly, another warning sign is when you start calling wrong right. When you start calling wrong right. You know, it seems to me today that everything is flipped over. Stuff that is wrong is called right, and stuff that is right is called wrong. That's the way the world does it. But when we as God's people begin to justify things by calling them, toning it down and calling it right, it's a red flag that something is wrong. I think today the devil is changing the road sign. You know, back in the days of World War II, across in the Battle of the Bulge at time, they had a column of tanks they wanted to move from one side of a mountain to the other side. Well, they knew that they'd be setting ducks to the enemy as they rumbled across this mountain, and so they come up with a plan. And the plan was this. They'd go one night when there was no moonlight, when it was the darkest night it could be. They would have one headlight on one tank, the one in front, and the others would go in darkness except for one little red light on the back of each one of them, and they would follow that red light. So they sent out a scout days before, and that scout went across and picked out a path across the mountain, and he took a cardboard sign about so big and put an arrow and just pointed that arrow and stuck up that little stake beside the road. Okay, when that one night when there was no moonlight at all, it was dark as it could be, these tanks cranked up in the middle of the night and they started making their way across this mountain. It looked like a motorcycle from the air because there's only one headlight and that's all you can see. And so the one with the headlight, he would look for the signs and all the others would follow that little red light on the back of each one of them. And there was a chain of them going across the mountain. They didn't realize that the enemy had saw the scout putting out the signs. At one place, he took one little cardboard sign and pointed left, and he flipped it over to point right. That's all he did. The tanks going up the mountain that night and straining and looking for the signs in front, and the rest of them following the little red light. And one would go up and he'd see that arrow, he'd turn. The next one would go up to that point, he would turn. The next one, and so forth. They got almost to the top of the mountain, and there they were straining to see the sign, and there it was pointing to the right. And so that tank pulled up to that point. He turned a corner. The next one come up. He turned a corner, and the whole column did this. But they didn't realize that the enemy had turned the sign around, and the tanks were going over a huge cliff and crashing and destroying them at the bottom of the mountain. The devil has turned the signs around today. What is wrong is still wrong. It is not going to change. But sometimes when we get a little close to the darkness, we begin to justify these things and we begin to call that which is wrong right. I see parents doing this to justify their kids so much anymore, and adults as well. And so that's a warning sign. When we start calling wrong right, that's a warning sign we're getting used to the dark. And then the fourth warning sign is when suddenly the light begins to bother us. Well, when the light begins to bother us and we cut a trail, they begin to It begins to bother me when somebody begins to preach about or teach about my particular sin that I'm leaning toward or involved in. You know, and I was raised up with two brothers that was twins. They were 3 years younger than me. And we were poor. We didn't know it at the time, but I look back now and I can tell you we were pretty poor. We didn't have toys and a lot of things that kids have now. But we entertained ourselves. We would, one of the things I like to do is go out in the woods behind the house and kick over rotten logs and watch bugs run. You say, well, that's pretty primitive. Well, you maybe have gone into the kitchen at night and turned on the light and watched the bugs run. Same principle. It's identical, same principle. What it is, the bugs run because of the fact that they don't like the light. And when light is shined on them, they run. And we find ourselves when we begin to try to avoid the light, then we've come a long ways toward getting used to the dark. All right, what is the remedy of this? That was the introduction. Now here's the message. What's the remedy? How do we avoid this? How do we avoid getting used to the dark? I want to give you pretty rapidly several things. First of all, turn with me to John chapter 1, First John chapter 1 and verse number 11. First John chapter 1, no, let me say verse number 5. It says, this is the message we have received of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, that's with me and God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what do? To avoid getting used to dark, once God has saved us out of that darkness, we need to stay in the light. We need to stay in the light. As close to the light as you can. You shine a light down the path, it's brightest in the center. The closer you are to the center of the light beam, the easier it is to see the obstacles. The easier it is to avoid being tripped up in the falling. And the same way, when we walk in fellowship with Him and walk in His light, then we can be sure to recognize and avoid those pitfalls. So one way to avoid getting used to the dark is to always stay in the light. We're living in a dark world today. I don't have to tell you that. We're living in a day of absolute, almost total darkness in as far as the world is concerned. But you know, that's when the light shines brightest. There is the weakest light can never be put out by the darkest dark. It only makes that light brighter. And so we stay in the light. That's the first thing we need to do. Number two, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. In Philippians 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, well, let's back up a little bit. He says in verse number 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you to both to do to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And so, secondly, to avoid getting used to dark, we need to, number one, stay in the light. Stay as close to God as we can in fellowship with Him. Number two, we need to shine as a light in the world. We need to always, when we go out in this crooked and perverse nation, we're to shine as a light. Not we are a light, but we shine as a light. Let me see if I can illustrate. I don't have that watch on today, but I've got an old Seiko watch that I wear a lot, have had for years. It doesn't have any numbers on it. It's got a green dot at where every number should be. The hands have got a little green line on each one of them. Well, there's two things I like to know. There's two things I insist on. I want to know where I'm at, number one, and I want to know what time it is. I mean, I just like doing that. I like when I'm traveling, my wife, if she don't have a map in her lap, it upsets me. I told her I'm going to trade it off for a GPS. I got to know where I'm at. And so I flew for 20 years, and the maps are pretty important to you. It's important to know where you're at. And so I like to know where I'm at, but I also like to know what time it is. And I'm always waking up and looking at my watch. But I didn't, in the fifth wheel that we had for years, it didn't have a built-in clock in the bedroom. And the nightstands were kind of folded down, and so it wasn't really convenient to set a clock on there. So I'd wear my watch at night, and I kept a little flashlight on the nightstand. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, okay, I wanted to know what time it was. And so I'd take and stick my arm under my pillow and take that little flashlight and stick it under there. I didn't want to blind myself. And I'd shine it on my wristwatch for a while. And then I'd turn the light off, pull it out, look at my watch. Voila! It's 6 minutes after three. Or whatever. And so I would go back to sleep. I wake up later, I look at my watch again, and I couldn't tell what time it was. The lights, you could see the dots, but it was so dim, I couldn't tell what time it was, if it had been any time at all, so I'd have to go back through that process again. Now, it's the same way with our spiritual lives. We, as we're exposed to the light of our church services and our fellowship with the Lord and in the house of God and chapel services, and when we're exposed to the light, then we go out in the world, then we can reflect that light for a little while. But you stay out a little while, and pretty soon that light grows dim. So what do we got to do? We got to go back and go through the same process over again. And so we not only we stay in the light, but we also are out in the world, in this crooked, perverse nation in which we live in, we're to shine as a light. If we don't, we'll soon the light will go out in our own lives, and it gets so dim, we'll start getting used to the dark again. It'll help us to avoid that. Okay? Stay in the light. Shine as a light. And then number three. Notice with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 13. In the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, it says this in verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. All right? What is he saying? He's saying we need to cast off the works of darkness, get those things out of our lives, and put on this armor of light. Armor surrounds the body to protect it. Okay? They tell me that on a safari, for instance, you may walk all day and you may travel, but always in the evening when it's getting near time to bed down, the people begin to gather dry materials and begin to decide where they're going to spend the night. Okay, they pick out a place where they're going to camp that night, and they take these materials that they gathered and those they gathered in the area, and they gather them and they make a circle around where they're going to sleep. And they put these dry materials all the way around, and in the center of that, they build a fire and a campfire, and there they cook their meal and sit by the campfire until time to go to sleep. By this time, the campfire has burned down to nothing but coals. And they take the coals and scoop them up, and scatter them in this circle of dry materials, it begins to burn. They can safely lay down, and they can sleep without being bothered by animals, snakes, creepy crawlers, or anything else. They're protected by an armor of light. Now, it's the same way in our life. To avoid being the devil getting into our lives, then we need an armor of light. We need to make sure that every day we put down the things in our life that ought to be there. We need to circle ourselves with our Bible study. We need to circle ourselves with our prayer time. We need to circle ourselves with our faithfulness to church, our tithing, and all these things circling our life. Those become our armor of light. The devil then and his imps cannot penetrate this. They cannot get into our life and ruin and destroy our testimony. And so to avoid getting used to the dark, we need to stay in the light. We need to stay in fellowship with Jesus. We need to shine as a light when we go out into the world, reflecting His light like a watch does. We need to surround ourselves with the light by having those things that ought to be important into our lives. And then the fourth and final thing, look with me in Luke chapter 8, if you would please. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 16, it says this. It says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under the bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." Okay? Look what he says. No man, that includes everyone, when he hath lighted a candle, he doesn't hide it away. He doesn't cover it with a vessel. He doesn't put it under a bed. But he puts it where? On a candlestick. For a good reason. That they that enter in may see the light. Okay, hold your finger there and turn to Revelation chapter 1, if you would, please. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20, he says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." Okay, he says, here's the answer. Here is the definition of this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, what's the candlestick symbolic of? The candlestick is symbolic of the local church. Okay, you go back to Luke chapter 8 and verse 16, he says, "No man, when he has lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." Okay, what do? When we get saved, we take our life. The candle of our life has been lit by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved. We're out of the darkness and into the light. Okay, we take that life. We're not freelance Christianity. We take that life. And we go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, local New Testament church and place ourselves under that church. And there, then, we live and serve out of the church, and so people might see the new life that God has started in my life. So the fourth thing is, we show off the light. Now, this will keep us from getting used to the dark. Staying in fellowship with the Lord, staying in the light. Shining like a light when they go out, reflecting His light when we go out in this world. Surrounding ourselves daily with an armor of light and the things that are supposed to go into our life. And showing off this to a lost and hell-bound world. Showing off this by our affiliation with the Bible-preaching church where we serve. And that will prevent us from getting used to the dark.